in 2 Timothy chapter 2, and we'll be in verse 15. And I take for a title today, Knowing God's Word. And something that is always, I feel like God is always laying heavy on our hearts, is the importance of knowing God's Word. And a lot of times, there's a lot of things that we miss as Christians because we don't know His Word. And so we're going to look at some scriptures today and see what God has told us about knowing His Word and the importance of it. And we'll start again, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. And this is a scripture. This is Paul. He's writing a letter to Timothy. And Timothy at this time is a young pastor, a young preacher, and he's getting ready to go into this work, and Paul is giving him some standards and some expectations. And a lot of times, this group of scriptures is pointed at pastors, but as we'll see today as we read into this, it is for every single believer. So 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15, it says, "Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that need not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." That's the King James Version. I want to read you the American Standard Version. It says, "Give diligence to present thyself approved unto God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, handling aright the word of truth." So I want to take a few moments and really kind of break down this scripture and talk about its meaning. And, you know, when you study the Word of God, one of the things that it's important to do is every single word that is selected has a purpose behind it. And there's, when you look at whether it's the Greek or the Hebrew and you look at the translation of the word, that word has been specifically chosen for a specific meaning. And it's always interesting to me, you know, people want to call the Bible fairy tales, they want to call it fake, they want to call, oh, it's just a collection of stories. But when you really dig down and you do your research into the Word of God, you understand just how precise the Word of God is. And so we'll start here with this first word in 2 Timothy. It says study. And when we think of the word study, we think of, you know, doing your homework or doing research or learning about a subject. But the word study here actually means make every effort. And I'll tell you, when I read that, I got convicted, because am I making every effort to show myself approved to God? Am I doing everything that I can do to show myself approved? And so it's understanding that every day we're in a battle. Every day we face a battle. Every day we get up and we hit the ground running, the devil hits the ground running, and we're in a battle. And at the end of the day, one of the things that we have to look back and see is, did I make every effort to be the best Christian that I could be? Now, that's not to get confused, and I'll cover this a little bit later. That's not to get confused and wrapped up in works, but we have to understand that our life, the life that we live, should be showing as a Christian. And so that jumped off the page to me, because I make an effort every day. I do pretty good, but do I make my best effort? And that's something I think, saints, that we have to reflect on. And you know, this time of year, people want to make New Year's resolutions. I'm not big into that. I that's just not my thing. But I do think we have to reflect and look in our Christian walk, and we have to do it often, not just at the first of the year or the end of the year, but I think we have to reflect and see, where are we? Because we should be further along than we were this time at the end of last year. And we should be further along tomorrow than we were today, because we should be ever striving to be closer to what God has called us to be. In 1 Timothy 6 and 12, it says, "Fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses." And when you look at that, when you look at make every effort, we go back to that word study, and then here in 1 Timothy where he's talking, there's an urgency, there's an intensity, there has to be a desire to walk after God's word. Are we, and another word that they have in there is carefully attending. Are we carefully attending to what we're supposed to be doing in this life? Now, again, it's not wrapped up in us and who we are. I want to make that clear. This is not a message about works. But just like in James, faith without works is dead. You can't proclaim to be a Christian and there's no fruit behind it. There should be a, am I making sense this morning? I want to make sure that we're very clear on here. I'm not preaching about your works and if you read your Bible enough, that's going to get you into heaven. That's going to help you, and that's going to help you walk closer to God and let you live a more victorious life. But understanding that every day we are to be making an effort, and there has to be an urgency about it. I don't know if you've ever worked with someone that didn't have a sense of urgency about getting something done. When I've got a task at hand, I want to get it done. If you look at my desk at work, it's covered in sticky notes and it's color coded. And I have this sticky note. This is for my secretary and I've got to talk to her about this. And this is for the people I work with. And this is my sticky note. And there is nothing better than crossing something off of my sticky note. That is just the greatest feeling in the world. Sometimes I'll write something down that I've done. Oh, I didn't put that on my list. Man, that feels good. That is just a great feeling to cross something off your list. But we have to have a sense of urgency. We have to have a sense of urgency in this Christian walk. And if we're not living with that sense of urgency, that sense of I've got to continue to push forward, we're missing the mark on that. Because there has to be a sense of urgency in our walk. So we look at that first word there, study, to make every effort. And then the next portion there is a group of words. It says to show yourself approved unto God. And this is where we miss it sometimes too, saints. It's not approved to man, it's approved unto God. Man's approval changes. Man's approval and what man says is the standard is constantly changing. We look back 20, 30 years ago of what was appropriate in society, that's no longer appropriate in society. Why? Because it constantly shifts and moves. Because we as people constantly shift and move. And that's why our approval cannot be with man. It has to be approved to God. So we have to make every effort, every day, to show ourselves approved to God. And we have to know, here's the key to that. Before you can be approved to God, you have to know what the Word of God actually says. And that's where we go back to the title of the message, Knowing God's Word. You can't be in the will of God if you don't know what the will of God is. Let me say that again. If you don't know what the will of God is, you can't be in the will of God. And in order to do that, you've got to know His Word. And you have to know it for yourselves. And we have to hide it in our hearts. And that means that I'm reading and I'm studying and I'm searching God's Scriptures for what it says. And too often, we've allowed people to come in and interpret the Bible for us and tell us what it means, or we read a daily devotional and we take that little bit. And the problem is we miss it when we do that. Because you have to understand the Word of God as a whole. You have to understand it from beginning of Genesis all the way through Revelations. And if you don't understand the Word of God, we're going to miss His will. I'll give you an example. You know, you read that familiar scripture in 1 Corinthians, where Paul is talking about the things of the church. And he says in there, and I'm paraphrasing, but he basically says, you know, women should be quiet in the church. Well, how many times have you heard that being taken and twisted and saying that women shouldn't preach? Now, you know, if you've been in church for a long time and you're married, when that scripture comes up, usually it's funny because I'll see the men, they'll kind of elbow their wife and, you know, kind of giggle and laugh, right? Because that was the interpretation for so long. However, when you understand in the whole scripture what Paul's talking about, he's talking about order and place in the church. And he's talking about the women sat on one side and the men sat on one side, and the women were yelling across and asking their husband a question during the service, and it was disrupting the service. And he not only talks about that, but he talks about other things that were disrupting the service and things being done in an orderly fashion. But if you only take that verse and you only read that verse and that's the only thing that's what it appears like. And that's how simple it is that we can miss the gospel if we're not studying. If we're just taking a portion of things, we're just reading a scripture, we're just talking here, we're going to miss the Word of God. And that's why we have to study to show ourselves approved. And again, that is a goal that is not just for pastors and preachers and teachers. That is for every single person that is a believer that follows this life. Is we are to show ourselves approved unto God. And there's not a point system. You know, it's not Weight Watchers. You do this so much, you get this many points, and then this equals heaven. We have to understand that everything in the Bible points to the cross. In the Old Testament, everything in the Bible is pointing forward to Christ being born and dying on the cross. Everything in the New Testament is pointing back to Christ dying on the cross and what he did for us. And to truly understand the scriptures, to truly know God's word, we have to understand the message of the cross, because that is the foundation. And once you understand that, and once you can get that foundation, all these other pieces will begin to come in place. And so we have to start there, understanding the message of the cross. To understand God's word, we have to look through it through the lens of everything that is pointing back to the cross. And what you'll begin to see is, even all the way in Genesis, when you read in Genesis, you will see things that are pointing to Christ coming. You will see things that are pointing to him dying on the cross to be saved for our sins. And a lot of times people are intimidated by the Old Testament, or they're intimidated by books like Revelations and things like that. And man, I just don't understand it. Jump in and read. Jump in and begin to read the word of God. Begin to, again, we go back to what we said, make every effort. A lot of times people go, the Bible's just kind of intimidating. I just, you know, I can't be consistent with it. I can't stay with it. Make every effort. Make every effort. Open up that book and read it. I promise you, there's still times that I read and I get done reading and I study and I go, but I'm not just really for sure what I read. And I know that, you know, if you're up here on the stage, you're supposed to know everything, right? Like, you're supposed to have all the answers. I assure you that I don't. And there's plenty of things that I read, and I kind of have to say, okay, let me put that on the shelf because I'm not real for sure about that, and let me come back to it. But you just have to keep reading. You just have to keep working, and you just have to keep making every effort, and the scriptures will begin to open up to you. And even scriptures that you've read, and man, you felt like you just knew everything there was, God will open it up, and the Holy Spirit will speak to you and show you a whole nother level with a scripture, show you a whole nother level with the word of God. So we're still looking at our 2 Timothy here. He says, study to show yourself approved unto God. And the next phrase there is a workman that need not be ashamed. And that is one word in the Greek. And what that is pointing to not be put to shame. And the relationship that it is making there is a workman that should be proud of the work that they've done. And they should be proud of what they've accomplished. And so I think of almost, I think of almost someone that's a carpenter that's built a home, and they're proud of what they've done. They're able to stand beside their work and be proud of what they've done. And we think of that in terms of our relationship with God. He called us a workman. And again, that's an intentional phrase, because we have a part to play in the church. Each of us has a role and a job to play in the church. And there is something that we have to be a part of to move this gospel forward. And you look here in our small church here in Garland, Texas. We're taking this message of the gospel around the world. We're taking it around the world. And everyone that sits in this congregation has a part to play in that. Everyone that is here that has a part to play in that message being able to go around the globe and to touch the hearts and lives of people. There are people that are saved because they've heard the word of God from this church, and you've been a part of that as you give and as you sow seed into the ministry, or as you work in the ministry, you are a part of that is happening. And that's a big responsibility for all of us. So it's important that we're making our best effort every day, that we are following God's word and we are knowing God's word. And goes on to say in the next portion there, so it says, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And it's talking here about correctly handling or holding a straight course. And if you think about the old timey, when they used to have to plow a field, they had a plow. And it had two handles, and it had the plow was in the center, and then they hooked a mule or a donkey or something to it, and they plowed the field. And you had to make sure that your rows were straight, otherwise you had wasted space. So you would plow a row and you had to make sure your rows were spaced out right so your crops would grow right so you would have the proper amount of spacing. And to do that, you have to be intentional. And it's the same thing with understanding the Word of God. We have to be intentional with it. We have to be intentional that when it's time to get into our Word, when it's time to read and study the Word of God, that we're at a place where we can focus on it, where we're not doing four or five other things. I don't have my earbuds in and I'm listening to music and I'm doing this and I'm doing that. I'm focused and I'm reading the Word of God. I'm being intentional about it, not being distracted. And again, understanding the foundation, the building blocks of what the Word of God says. And again, it's jumping in and starting. You don't have to be a scholar. You don't have to have gone to years of schooling to just jump in the Word of God and begin to read. Begin to take that time to pray and seek God, and God will begin to open His Word up to you. God will begin to show you the mysteries behind His Word. And you'll live a more victorious life because you understand the Word of God. And we have to have that foundation. And I think that as a church, that is something, the American church as a whole, something that we're missing is the foundation and understanding God's Word. And we don't understand it because we don't take time to read it. We don't take time to study it. We don't take time to process it and really truly grasp what God is trying to say. God will speak to you. My daughters, sometimes they when they were younger, they would get confused. They was, so God talks to you like God talks to you audibly. No, He talks to me through His Word. There's times I feel like He speaks to my heart, and there's times I feel like He's right there talking to me. But God will speak to you through His Word. It is a living, breathing Word of God. And a lot of times we look at it as a Bible. It's this old, dusty Bible, but it is alive. It is the true Word of God. Every phrase, every word, everything chosen was chosen specifically and put there and placed there to teach us. But you got to open it up and you got to read it. You got to open it up and you got to study it and understand it to make sure that we are making every effort to show ourselves worthy to God, to not be ashamed of the life we're living, and by holding the course straight. And we have so many denominations and so many doctrines that have been offshoots of the true Word of God. Why? Because we're not following what the Word of God said. Because we're not following what He said. And again, I'm not trying to beat anybody up this morning, but we have to understand this, and we have to understand the importance of knowing God's Word and knowing where God is coming from. And again, our focus isn't on works, and it's not that you reading the Bible is what saves you, but it's understanding that that is a tool that God has given to communicate with us. And in 2 Timothy, the second chapter in the 16th verse, he goes on to say, he says, "But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. And their word will eat as doth a canker, of whom Hymenaeus and Philetus." And what he's talking about here when he's talking about profane and vain babblings is empty and hollow speech. And there's so much preaching and so much teaching that that's all it is empty and hollow speech. It's one extreme or the other. It's the life coach and find the champion in you, or it's law. And it's beat down and it's in what you wear, and it's focused on your works, and it's not focused on what the true Word of God is. But if we don't study the Word of God, we don't know what the true Word of God is. We don't know that what's coming out of someone's mouth is true or false or otherwise. And he goes on, when he's talking here about an increase to more ungodliness, he's talking about false teaching. And we see so much of that in the church right now. And a lot of times I think people have a positive intent. I don't think there's preachers and teachers and pastors that are out purposely preaching the wrong Word of God. But I think it's because they haven't studied, because the congregation hasn't studied, because we don't have a knowledgeable group of people. It's the blind leading the blind with what we're teaching and preaching. And that's why, as much as we want to be fed, and it's good to come to church, and we want you to be in the church, we want you listening to the Word of God, you are responsible for your salvation. You are responsible for knowing what the Word of God says. And the further and further we get away from the true word of God, the closer that we get to our demise and falling away from God. And he's talking here about false teaching and falling away from God. And he makes the phrase, eat as a canker. And that is akin to gangrene or blood poisoning. And false doctrine is so dangerous because it takes just a little bit of truth, and then just much like gangrene does, it enters our body and begins to make us sick. Because there's a doctrine out there, there's a church out there that will tell you the things that you want to do are okay. There's churches out there that'll tell you, oh, it's okay to drink, just don't get drunk. Or they'll tell you, it's okay to do this or be involved in this. And the thing is, saints, is we have to know what the Word of God says. And as I was studying for this, I was looking at some different examples, and you know, that's one. Alcohol is man, that's a big argument in the churches, right? There's churches that, oh, it's a sin, it's wrong, you shouldn't do it, and oh, well, just do it a little bit, or don't get drunk, or all these other variations of it. Well, I just want you to hear from me. I believe drinking's a sin. I believe you shouldn't be involved in it. That being said, go read the scriptures. Go read the scriptures. Don't read to find the answer that you want. Go read the scriptures and allow God to speak to you. And I promise you, God will bring you to that same revelation. God will bring you to that same revelation. The problem is, though, if you go reading the scriptures and you're like, okay, I'm going to find the answer that I want, well, you can take and twist and manipulate words enough that you can say, oh, yeah, that's what God was saying right there. But can you truly open your heart, and not just with alcohol, but with anything, can you truly open your heart and can you look and say, okay, God, what does your word say about this? And again, we say not man's approval and not what man chooses to believe or chooses to say, but what does the word of God say? Can we truly dive into it, and can we allow the Holy Spirit to speak to us and talk to us? And that's how we get closer to Christ. The more that we understand his word, the more that we dive in and that we can study and again, show ourselves approved. And how do we do that? Making every effort to say, where is God's heart in this? Where does God want me to be in this? We've been called to be separate from the world. And you see churches today, especially a lot of times with their youth ministries, they want to get as close to the world and offer, oh, we're just like the world, but we're just a little bit different. That's not what we've been called to do. We've been called to be separate, not isolated. We're not called to be isolated from the world, but we're called to be separate. And too many times, we as churches, we're making every effort to get as close as we can to the world and be just a little bit different. That's not what the scripture says. In 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 3 and 4, it says, "For the time past of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles when we walked in lavishness, lust, excess of wine, revelings, banquetings, and abominable idolatries, wherein they think it strange that you run not with them to the same excess of riot, speaking evil of you." Now, there's a whole other sermon in there on what Peter is talking about in each one of those words and what that means. I don't have time to get into that this morning, but that's some good homework for you. Go and look up those words and what it's talking about and what it's saying. But he's saying we should be different from the world. Our walk should be different from the world. It should be noticeable. Now, that doesn't mean you've got to get the biggest Bible that you can and walk around toting your Bible and yelling scriptures at people. But there should be a difference in your walk and in your way outside of those that aren't in Christ. Can others see the Christ in you? Is there a difference in how you're living and leading your life? And that's a rhetorical question, but that's something that we have to reflect on. Am I making my best effort? Am I doing the things that I need to do? Now, I'll tell you, we've all got shortcomings. And so this is not a condemnation message, because I promise you, there's areas in my life I'm not making my best effort, and I have to be better in those areas. But I'm better through God. I have to take that to God and say, God, I'm short here. I'm coming up short here. Help me. Help me in how I'm dealing with this. Help me in how I'm walking with this. And he will provide the answers. But again, it's knowing God's word, and that's where that foundation starts, because sometimes we don't even know we're off base because we don't know what the Word of God says about it. So the more you know, you hear that old saying, you know better, you do better. That's perfect with the Word of God. When you know better, you'll do better. Because there's sometimes you're doing something, and you maybe you're a young Christian, and you didn't even realize that was, I ought not be doing that. But God will open it up to you. But the only way that you know that is your relationship with God, is your understanding of the Scriptures and knowing. In Galatians chapter 5 and verse 19, this is, again, Paul writing a letter to the Galatians. It says, now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanliness, lavishness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murderers, drunkenness, reveling, and such the like, of which I tell you before, I have also told you in time past, that which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. So again, that's a whole nother, there's some more homework for you there in Galatians chapter 5, looking at what each of those says, at what each of those things that he says that are of the world and that we're not supposed to be involved in. It might surprise you as you go through the list. But the gist that I'm wanting you to get this morning is that we are called to be separate from the world. We shouldn't look like the world. We shouldn't act like the world. There should be a difference in where we're going and how we're doing things, right? Again, that doesn't mean that we're called to be isolated and be some cult over here and we never interact with the world. You're going to interact with the world on your job, with your family, with friends. There's going to be interactions that you have with the world, but understanding there should be a difference. There should be a difference between you and the world. And they use the example of the Gentiles and what they do. People are going to look at you strange when you don't get off at 5 o'clock on Friday and you don't go to happy hour. Yeah, I don't drink. And you don't have to stand up and go, you're going to hell. That's not being a Christian either, because we're called to show love. But there's something different about you. There's something different about when someone comes in and you're on your job and maybe you work in customer service and someone comes in and cusses you up one side and down the other and you're able to treat them with gentleness and kindness. When someone makes a mistake, you don't berate them and beat them up. You tell them they made a mistake, but you tell them in love. Why? That's different from the world. That's not how everybody else acts. And this is one I got to work on. Somebody cuts you off in traffic and you don't immediately just hit the horn and go, hey! I got to work on that one. I'm getting there. It's getting better. But every now and then, I still, this Texas traffic, I still haven't quite gotten used to the Texas traffic. So every now and then, boy, I hit my horn and, hey, have to assume maybe they're in emergency. Maybe they didn't see him. God bless them, right? And that's odd and that's different, but that's what we're called to be, because that's what the Word of God says, that we're to be different. We're to stand out from the world. In Revelations chapter 2, and this is in Revelations the different churches that are being addressed and the different types of churches. And this church in particular here is Pergamos. And it says, and to the angel of the church write these sayings, saith he which has the sharp sword with two edges, I know your works and where you dwellest, even when where Satan's seat is. And thou holdest fast my name and hast not denied my faith, even in those days wherein Antipas was my faithful martyr, who was slain among you where Satan dwells. And what he's writing to this church is they are struggling to be like the world. That's what they want to be like, is they want to be like the world. And if you look at a lot of churches and you can see there's churches online and there's all every type of flavor of church that you can think of, you can find. But there's so many today that are trying to walk close to the world, as close as we can to the world, and be just a little bit different. And that's not what the Word of God says. And it, you know, this phrase here, where Satan's seat is, Satan has a seat in the church. We've allowed Satan to have a seat in the church. We've allowed Satan to come in and infiltrate and put just enough false doctrine in to start to leaven the whole loaf. just enough in there that's wrong. And I heard it say this way, you know, a half-truth is a whole lie. And we miss that. And again, I go back to why do we miss that? Because we don't know the Word of God. We don't know the foundations. We don't know the true voice of God. And when we know it, when we hear all that other junk and we hear all that other nonsense, we immediately know, yeah, that's not the Word of God. That's not what God has called us to. And he goes on here in the 14th verse, it says, but I have a few things against you because you ask them that hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed unto idols and commit fornication. So is thou also them that held the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which thing I hate. Money had become the driving factor. And, you know, we talk about money and money can be the root of all evil. Now, you need money to run a church. You got to pay the light bill. It's nice to have nice heat coming in. There's things that money are needed for the church. However, if the focus becomes the money, then we've lost our focus on God. Because at the end of the day, the person that provides is not me, it's not you, it's not anyone else, it's God. God is the one that provides. And God will always be faithful and provide not only for the church, but for you. And then he talks about, when he's talking about the Nicolaitans, he's talking about the church government. And that's a whole sore subject that we could get into as well, is how the church is governed versus how God has called it to be governed and how it's been called to be led. But understanding this Word of God, understanding the truth and knowing what the truth is. And I know this wasn't as I kind of conclude here, I know this sermon wasn't a shouting and hallelujah and pump you up and make you feel good sermon, but I believe it's the Word of God. And I want to encourage you to look and begin to study the Word of God. Because I promise you there's joy in knowing the Word of God. There's peace in knowing the Word of God. And the answers to what we're struggling with and what we're fighting with in life is in the Word of God. But you got to open the book. You got to read it. You got to study it. And the more that you do that, I believe the more that God will reveal to you and the more that God will show you his word. Amen? All right, let me pray with you. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that you left us a guide. We thank you so much that you have provided us with support in your Holy Spirit and in your word, Father. Lord, I pray you would touch each and every one of us within the sound of my voice, Father, and give us a desire, give us an urge to know your word deeper. Give us a desire to open your word, to read it and to study it and to understand what you have said to us, Father. I thank you so much for this opportunity. I thank you so much for the words that have gone forth today. Lord, I ask you to bless these people. Lord, and we ask these things according to your name. Amen.
Amen. You know, just being able to have that relationship with the Lord and understanding what it is that he has for our life is so important. And as we close, I just want to say, if you have not had an opportunity to give, we ask that you do it at this time. And on that same note, just want to thank everybody. Those of you who are tuned in on the webcast, those of you that are in the building that support this ministry and make, as Brother Ryan was saying, being able to help Christ Unveil get this word out to the world. I don't know any other way to say it, but that's what we do. We're operating in the commandment that was given to us to go ye into all the nations and preach the word. And every nation that is open, we're going into it and we're taking the word of God. And we thank God for all of you who support this ministry. That being the case, I'm going to ask that if you have not had an opportunity to update your email address, You can scan the QR code that's going to be up on the screen. This will allow us to verify your email address so that we can send out your 2023 tax statement to you. And again, just thank you. Thank you for your support. Financially, spiritually, continue to hold us up in prayer. Also, I'd like to invite you out tonight at 11 o'clock to our first worship service. Come out and bring the new year in with us in a time of worship, a time of fellowship. Although the service starts at 11, because we will be having both the 9 o'clock and the 11 o'clock congregation, I want to encourage you to get out a little bit early so that you can get a seat. But we invite you to come out and be with us tonight at 11 o'clock to bring in the new year. Amen? Praise God. If you're standing to your feet, we'll be dismissed. Holy and righteous Father, again, we thank you for an opportunity to be in your house. Lord, we thank you just for being who you are and for the love that you show us each and every day. God, I just ask that you be with us as we depart this place. Continue to allow your angels to be encamped round about us. And Lord, we give you all the praise and all the glory. In your holy name, amen. You're dismissed.